On this show, you'll find inspiration, motivation, and advice from experts, as well as valuable tips on how to get started or improve your business. Let's dive into how you can begin and grow your wisdom business. Inspiring others looks different for everyone. How will you inspire? Welcome to the Wise Stone Podcast, and today we're chatting with Chantal Cox. Chantal is an author, speaker, and transformation neuro coach and certified life purpose coach who saves purpose-driven coaches from the side hustle grind so they can design their life of impact and freedom without limitations. Chantal does this through her book, her podcast, and coaching programs. Chantal, welcome to the Wise Stone Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's very exciting. I'm looking forward to our chat. I would love for you to share with our audience how you actually got started in this business.
Yeah, it's, you know, one of those things that now in, you know, the date that we are recording this, looking back, I'm like, oh, that's why that happened, or that's why I had to go through that, because it definitely, you know, leading up to here, there were moments where I'm like, why is this happening?
How many whys? There's always a why.
Yes. Just if you're in that spot, just keep trucking, because at some point it's going to all come together and make sense. But yeah, so I always wanted to be an educator growing up, and I went into special education, and then I ended up transitioning into a role of instructional coach for special educators. And around that time, I got divorced and left an abusive marriage and had to completely rebuild myself and my life, and ended up going through this incredible personal transformation, because I left on my 30th birthday, and then, happy birthday. so now I call it my freedom day.
Yeah.
But I picked up my first ever self-help book and just kind of went down this huge rabbit hole of reading everything I could get my hands on, listening to every podcast, and then slowly began implementing the things I was learning.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in a fairly short amount of time, I mean, we're talking a couple of years, not, you know, months or anything, but my friends and family are looking at me and being like, who are you? Like, you walk in a room and you're just like so filled with like joy and like, you don't take any S from anybody, you know, like you are just like living your life. You've done amazing things. How did you do this, and how can I do it too?
Yeah.
And so with my teaching background, it kind of came together, and I made little like worksheets and lesson plans. And so as they started trying it out and having success, it finally clicked. And I was like, oh, maybe this terrible thing, this like dark spot in my past, as I was seeing it back then, could be used for good. Maybe everything I learned, everything I went through, I could actually help other people with this.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's beautiful.
So, thank you.
Yeah.
And so that led me to write my book, and then everything. My book coach, when I decided to write a book and did that, he said it was going to be like walking through Narnia's closet. He's like, doors are going to open, opportunities are going to happen that you can't even imagine right now. And I was kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. But oh my gosh, like he was spot on.
Yeah. When you got someone telling you that, you think, yeah, right, whatever.
Yeah. Like maybe for your other clients, but not for me. I'm just me. Like, you know, all those limiting beliefs.
Why do you think that happened though? Like what, you know, when you were writing your book, was it the information you were sharing, or was it, do you really think it was the connection that people were having with you personally? What do you think might've actually, you know, caused all of that?
Yeah. That's a really good question. You know, when I wrote it, when the voices in my head would start being like, who's going to read this? Like, people are going to make fun of you. Oh, you shouldn't write about that. Cause it's part memoir, part self-help. Wow. So it's telling my story and then, walking people through like super simple, actionable steps that they could adopt that same habit that I did too. Yeah. So there's 10 chapters, 10 habits. So it's things like gratitude, affirmations, basically self-help 101, but I was in my early 30s and it was not foundational basic knowledge to me. And so as I wrote that and got that out there, there are other people like me that did not grow up in households where this was just common knowledge. This was new information.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. I say amazing a lot, but I do mean it when I say it. So going from, you know, writing your book and, you know, providing, you know, little help guides and things like that, how did you step into the process of saying, okay, neuro coach, what does that all mean?
Yeah. I was actually at a book signing, which I thought I'd kind of write the book and then be like, okay, done. Maybe one person will read it and it will help them. But then I live in a community that is amazing and very supportive. So local businesses were reaching out and saying, you know, we want to host a book signing for you. And I'm like, oh, okay, awesome. Let me Google how to do a book signing. I don't know
where to start.
Right. And so at a book signing, someone asked to hire me. And I'm like, to what? Tutor your kid? Like, I don't understand. Hire me to do what?
Oh, I love it.
And yeah, I just, the identity of teacher was so ingrained in me that even though I was actively in a role called instructional coach and I was paid every day to go coach teachers and I had been trained and, you know, all this stuff, I had not adopted that identity. And so I thought this person was like super crazy. I'm like, I'm a teacher. I'm not a coach. That's ridiculous. Yeah. And luckily, you know, I've got amazing support system around me who is able, you know, oftentimes you can't see it because you are so blocked with your limiting beliefs and your stories that you tell yourself, but other people outside looking in can be like, yeah, Chantal, what's your name tag currently say? And I'm like, oh, instructional coach. Well, crap. Maybe I need to pay attention. Yeah, but instructional coaching and then coaching the type of life transformations that people were seeking me out for is very different. And so I really, it was very important to me to seek out some type of very reputable certification because I didn't want to get out there and like do harm rather than good, right? So I wanted to learn those skills. And I happened to be listening to a podcast and they were interviewing Dr. Shannon Irvin. And she's talking about how she went and got her doctorate in neuroscience, neuropsychology. And she's created this neurocoaching method and she's going through all the steps. And then she mentioned she certifies coaches and I'm like driving home from work and I like could not pull over fast enough and find the show notes and get to her website and figure out, this is it. This is it. Like, what do I need to do? Like, and so went through her program. She's got two levels or did at that time. I know she has grown and pivoted and evolved in such amazing ways. At that time, she had two levels. You could become a certified coach and then you could go on and become a master certified coach. And so that was the route that I felt aligned with what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how something just things speak to you out of nowhere? You're like, hang on a minute, I'm meant to be listening to this right now, hearing this right now. Yeah. So going through that process of, you know, starting, you know, it would have been just a simple evolution really in the end, wouldn't it? Because you're writing your book, you've been teaching people, then you write your book, and then it's like going through this stage of, okay, this is how coaching is. So audience wise, how did you build that audience? Like going through that process, you discovered your evolution, but carrying an audience, did you carry an audience along that journey, or did you sort of at each point create new audiences?
Yeah, it's my audience has definitely evolved because when I wrote my book and then when I first started coaching, I really wanted to help that woman that was, you know, has overcome some challenge and has come out on the other side, is investing in herself, learning. And, you know, my journey was messy because I'm reading all the books and all the podcasts and they're all saying slightly different things. And, you know, it can get very noisy. Yeah. And so I wanted to help streamline their journey and help them get to that transformation. And I'm huge on connections and relationships. So, you know, connecting them with other people that are going through something similar and helping support and build this community. And so that's really was the vision of the book. And then my early coaching and as my career evolved, and now I actually have been hired by my state my education to be a state trainer. And now I train instructional coaches and I coach instructional coaches. And so it's all, I know, I'm like, well, look at me now.
Coach
like,
hierarchy.
I'm like, go-to coach girl. Yeah. Like, what? How did this even happen? And so now I'm really passionate about helping those coaches. Just like when I started, I had such a hard time stepping into the identity and working through those limiting beliefs. And so, you know, using the neuro coaching method to help them get through all that and rewire their neural networks. And then also to the coaching industry is very noisy.
Right.
And, I don't want passionate, purpose-driven coaches to do what I did because it doesn't work. Because what I did was spent several years and many thousands of dollars on coaches and boot camps and courses and workshops, and everybody saying a slightly different thing and saying, nope, you have to build a funnel. Nope, you have to go live every day. Nope, you have to, you know, all of these shoulds. And I was so busy spinning all these wheels and like trying to do all these things and learn all these things that I wasn't, there was no time, there's nothing left over to actually connect with people and do what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I see that happening to so many other people. And finally, like, I just said, enough is enough. I was like, maybe this was the wrong path. Maybe I'm not supposed to do this. Maybe all this was for nothing. You know, it was just at that kind of crossroads.
Yeah.
Luckily, again, you know, lots of affirming, amazing support people in my system that helped me kind of see, no, you're on the right path. You've just been distracted by all this noise. So get back to your path.
Yeah.
And so that's now my audience is helping those kind of, not even necessarily newer coaches. I mean, some are several years in, but just kind of in that phase of I'm working my tail off. I'm doing every single thing I'm told to do, and I'm just not gaining traction and I'm burning out. And what do I do? Because I don't want them to give up. They're put on, you know, we're all put on this planet for a reason. And so if you found your purpose and you found your calling, let's not be discouraged because the coaching industry has gotten a little wonky at the moment.
Yes. There's a lot of noise. Yes. That's a good way of putting it. There's a lot of noise. Sixtus, and you mentioned something just before, like, you know, with regards to those who are coaches and, you know, they could be coaching all this time, but they're just not taking on that belief system that they really do have something to give. And there's, it takes like two sort of sections to that, isn't there? There's like that belief in themselves, but also the value in themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's always that question of, you know, how much do I charge as a coach? And, you know, am I really, you know, but this is something that I just love doing. Why would I charge that much or whatever? But they don't realize their true skill set or what they have to offer. Do you, like, how do you, obviously you don't have to give us the whole session right now, but it's like, you know, where would someone go if they're starting to feel like that? What would be their first step that they really should take?
For me, the first kind of foundational step is always creating your vision and your definition of success.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the noise out there is saying, you know, become an eight-figure coach. And like, that's their definition of success. But is that yours?
Yeah.
Not saying that you're not going to get there, but like, what's really your driving motivation here? Because if it's just eight figures, I mean, that's great. I want you to have that because look at the impact you can do and the team you can create and the just the amazingness you can do with that kind of money. But that's pretty hollow. Why?
Yeah. Well, what is the impact that you want to have? It's
yes. Yeah. So really helping them get clear with that.
Yeah.
And I truly believe like coaching is all about helping that person uncover their true story, their version of success, their definition, and what strategies and skills align with them, not what the last Facebook ad that just popped up told them they should do.
Yeah. And that's why I was asking you, you know, with respect to your book and how your audience related, like, why do you think your book was such a success? You know, was it were they relating to you? Was it what you were teaching or what you were sharing, you know, the 101? Like, it's that same thing. It's like, no matter what we do in life, whatever, you know, knowledge we're sharing, people have to relate to you somehow, and you've got to have a real drive. Like, you know, I did marketing and so forth, and it was always, what is your why? Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be anything to do with a dollar symbol at all. You know, no. You should have a true why, because that will help you overcome any speed humps or anything like that you come across and so forth. Yeah. How do you help your, you know, your audience see past their speed humps?
Yeah. There's several kind of like points. I call it the Create a Life You Love roadmap, because everything is a journey. And just like you said, you know, there's not an end point. It's just a pit stop to kind of recalibrate. And so I do like 90-day calls of, okay, so now it's been 90 days. Here are the goals you set. Let's recalibrate. Mm. So, because in 90 days, if you're doing the work, you're at a new level with your thinking, just how you're showing up, who you are. And so your vision is now bigger. And so if we set one goal and one vision and we keep trucking along on that, that's going to become kind of stagnant. So we need to keep going back to it and really getting in touch with the dreamer in us and not let those voices of, you can't impact a million people. Who do you think you are? Or, you know, whatever it's saying there.
Yeah. That whole imposter syndrome. I don't know if I should be here. Could I really do that? It's so amazing, you know, going through, you know, a lot of the chats that I've had with people, like guests on this podcast, and it's so amazing that almost every conversation it comes up of questioning ourselves. It is really something that's internal, isn't it? And that we've really got to overcome it. Do you have a tip? Just any tip? I know there's not just one tip, but do you have any favorite tip maybe that you might have for those that are sitting there questioning their value at least?
Absolutely. So before I understood or even had heard about Dr. Shannon and neurocoaching, like, affirmations were such a huge part of my journey. And then once I met Dr. Shannon, she says, like, she has the science behind the woo, you know, so when it's all like affirmations, like, what am I, Stuart Smalley from Saturday Night Live, and I'm going to sit in front of the mirror and be like, I'm good enough. By golly, people like me, or whatever it is that he says, because it kind of sounds silly. Like, how is that going to help me? Yeah. So she helped me really see what affirmations, when done correctly, are actually doing. And it's actually rewiring your neural networks in your brain. Yeah. And so if you start identifying, like, listen to that voice in your head, when you set a goal and then that little voice comes up and is like, you can't do that. Like, write down exactly what those words are.
Right.
Because those are automated stories that got put in your head at some point in your life, and they were there to protect you and keep you safe and alive. Mm-hmm. But as we grow, like, our brain just needs to be exposed to where we're going. If what we're trying to do, it's never really seen before, it sees unfamiliar things as unsafe. So then that's when those blockades start popping up to keep you safe, keep you in your comfort zone, keep you playing small.
Yeah.
So a huge piece of it is acknowledging it, like recognizing it, saying, okay, I hear you.
Yeah.
And then kind of like writing it down and then really thinking to yourself, like, is this true? Do I have, you know, so when I was writing the book, like, nobody's going to read my book was a thing. And I'm like, is that true? I'm like, I've got a pretty awesome mom. I know at least she's going to read it. like, I've got great friends, you know, they'll at least like read enough of it to tell me that they read it, type of things. I'm like, so no one's going to read my book? No, that's not true. And then the other thing is to really think about somebody that you care about. So like, I'm not, I always wanted to be a mom and I'm not a mom. You know, the whole divorce when you're 30 thing kind of throws a wrench in things. But think about your child, or for me, it's my niece and nephew, and think about saying to them, like if my niece said, "Aunt Chantal, I'm going to write a book," would I tell her, "No one's going to read your book"?
Yeah.
Like, that's a good
point. Yeah.
And so when you think about like that, then that activates that like mama bear in you. Mm. And then you come up with all these reasons of like, she's amazing. She can do anything she wants. Da, 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 da. Yeah. And then once you write all those down, those are also true about you.
Yes.
So then you can start kind of using those things to create your affirmations. Or in the neurocoaching world, we call them brain priming statements. Mm-hmm. But it's essentially a affirmation on steroids because it's targeting your actual thought. Instead of just I am happy, like I am abundant in every way, like whatever it is. But
that is so good. That is a very valuable words right there, and information there for those, you know, who are listening, and for myself too. Like that is really, really good. Like, yeah, we know of affirmations, and I do understand, yeah, there is some science behind it, you know, really believing in yourself and you sort of rewiring things, but putting it like that and actually recognizing the negs and turning them into the positives, that's very, very helpful. And having that ability to recognize, because obviously, you know, a lot of us have challenges and sometimes we can't recognize that it's a challenge that we're going through. We just think the whole world is just against us. And going through that, you know, I'm believing in myself, I'm going to create this book, I'm going to have this drive, I'm going to get there. And then sometimes there's crickets. You know, what do you say to your coaches at that point?
First off, because we are, our own stories are, you know, guiding us and allowing us to see what affirms our negative bias.
Yeah.
And so we may think it's crickets when in reality it's not. So having some type of community, some support system, a coach, something outside of you to help you see the reality that maybe it's not actually crickets. And always celebrating your wins, because then it teaches your brain to keep doing more of that and keep looking for more of that.
Yep.
And then always coming back to your why. Okay, so it's crickets right now, but why are you doing this? Because you want your why to be so strong that even when you feel like there's crickets, that purpose, that mission, it is pulling you up that hill, up that mountain, right? Instead of you trying so hard to push this boulder up this mountain, trying to make it work, struggling, fighting, like you want to get in that place where it's so strong, it is pulling you. So it doesn't matter that you perceive there's crickets right now, because you know you're on your mission and this is a tiny phase.
Yeah. And it's just a moment in time. It doesn't mean it's the end of your time. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, going through all of that. In respect to actually creating a business such as you have, and like you said, you know, you want to teach your coaches not to do what you've done.
Yes.
What advice would you give to anyone who is looking to start up a coaching business?
Yeah. Start fairly simple. I got caught up in the, you need a website, you need a podcast, you need to be on every platform, you need to do this, do this, do this, do this. And so it got very expensive very quick. Once you not only, you know, purchase a domain and pay whatever to whoever to have a website, and then you've got to pay either somebody to build the website and figure out the copywriting, or you're paying for courses and coaches to teach you how to do all those things, but it becomes very expensive. So do I want you to have a website at some point? Yes. Do you need to have it today? No. Mm-hmm. Not until you are clear enough on who you want to help and how you want to help them and why you want to do that. Yeah. And then you can get, you know, traction and momentum through a Facebook Live, through some Facebook posts, through referrals from people that know you. Mm-hmm. getting on other people's podcasts. You don't have to learn how to do a podcast and buy a fancy microphone and a camera and all the things, right? You can guest on some, see if you even like it.
Yeah.
Maybe exactly. You're a guest a couple of times and you're like, well, nope, I don't want to do this every week.
Me.
Yeah. So just start really simple. Mm. And then once you're, my big thing is you got to get some momentum, get one client. And then see what they're needing. See if you even like working with that type of client. What about them do you love working with them about? Or what about them are you like, this isn't as much, you know, this isn't feeling as aligned as I thought maybe it would. Like figure those things out before you invest all the time, money, and energy.
Yeah.
Because you're going to figure it out eventually. You might as well do it.
Exactly. You learn along the way. But that's very good advice there, just pointing out that, you know, you don't know if that's exactly what you want to do. Maybe it's not a one-on-one thing. Maybe it's a one-to-many thing, or maybe it's a different style of sharing, or, you know.
Yes.
So with respect to, you know, your journey, which has been an amazing journey, and yes, it had, it, like you said, its dark moments, but you've come out of it now into something so much more brighter and shinier and, you know, very uplifting and inspiring too, I have to say. You know, a lot of the things that you've, you know, written about and things that you do are really inspiring. What would you say would be the legacy that you'd be looking to leave?
I don't know if it was my 7 years as a Girl Scout or what, but I just always want to leave a person, leave a place, leave this world when it's my time better than I found it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my legacy, is just when I take my last breath, I want to know, like, you know what? I did what I could to leave it better than I found it.
Yeah. Beautiful. Really, really nice. What's the one thing that you think with respect to, you know, your business journey that you've gone on, what's the biggest thing that you think you might have learned along that journey with maybe how you teach, you know, or share, or even the best experience that you might have gone through from maybe a student of yours?
I think something that from both my, you know, my job and my business that is just abundantly clear to me is people want small, bite-sized, actionable pieces of information.
Yeah.
And so whether I'm live doing a webinar, masterclass, coaching session, whatever it is, or if it's a pre-recorded, but it's, here's what I'm going to teach you. Here's why it's important. Here's how you're going to do it. Okay, now go do it. And then let's get back together. And then I'll tell you the next step.
Yeah.
Not binge watch 20 hours of stuff and implement nothing, right? Yeah. It's all about the implementation.
Yeah. So very important. So many of us, I think, read, and do so many courses. Like you said, you know, you're constantly reading or you're constantly, but you're not actually implementing anything. And there's no sort of momentum happening at that point. So, yeah. Great advice, Chantal. You were amazing to chat to today. And I'd love to ask if you've got an offer that you'd like to share with our audience today.
Absolutely. About once a month, sometimes more, I do a live workshop. And so I will share the link with you that always gets updated where they can get information on when the next live one is, as well as access the replay from the one that just happened. So if you're hearing this and you're like, but I want to know it right now, I don't want to wait 2 weeks or however long it happens to be, you can at least build a little bit of momentum and get to know my teaching style, and then be invited, see how to register for the next one. And those I always do. I do a lot of free value that's just what my audience kind of needs to get started. Let's get you some free, low cost value. Mm-hmm. It's still valuable. Like, I'm not just like giving like crap for free, right? but let's get you some momentum, get you some clients so that you can afford a little bit higher cost offer and truly invest in yourself with someone that you know gets your results. And that might not be me. It might be someone I introduce you to. It might be someone that you hear on the next episode. I don't know, but, you know, let's get you some results so that you're out there making the impact, not stuck spinning on the hamster wheel and bleeding money.
And where is it to now for you with respect to your journey? Where are you at now and where do you plan to go?
Yeah. I love my like signature offer, the Create a Life You Love Roadmap, but that is a higher touch, higher price. And so I just launched a membership, which is a lower cost. And I'm now bringing in other coaches that are helping provide value. So it's going to be so much value because it's me, my coaching style, my expertise, as well as all my co-coaches. Yeah. And then this community that we're building. And so that is my like newest thing that I just can't wait to get out of bed every morning and work on and be with those people and just kind of build it as we're going. And then I have a vision in the next 3 to 5 years to also have a coaching certification program. So I kind of have here's where I was, here's where I am, here's where I'm going.
Oh, you're amazing. Absolutely amazing. Well, I wish you all the best on that journey. And again, Chantel, you've been amazing to chat to. You are a wealth of information. I thank you so much for your time. And everyone who is looking, for Chantel's offer, all the details will be in our podcast summary below. Be sure to click on the link and don't forget to subscribe. And thanks again, Chantel, for your time today.
Thank you so much, Nikki.
Thanks for listening to the Wise Dome podcast. If you enjoyed and have been inspired by this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, do subscribe and please share it with others. Post about us on social media or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, Nikki Kelly, you can follow me on Instagram at Wise Dome Podcast, WISEDOME Podcast. I'm Nikki Kelly. Thanks again, and we'll catch up next time.